Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. And as usual, we've pulled out all the stops to get a special guest in alongside our own Simon Ferry. And delighted to say we're joined by the Motherwell legend, former Aberdeen and Motherwell assistant manager, Scott Leach. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Very welcome, thank you.
Good to have you in, Simon. Good guy to have on with us today.
Good guy, play with his boy, Scott Leach's boy, that's what we call him. He's only known as Scott Leach's boy, he doesn't get his proper name.
What is his name? Young Jack?
What is it, Young Jack? Yeah, he's a great lad, great lad. He's a good player as well, he's doing well.
Where does he take his talent from?
His mum. He wears her high heels as well.
Absolutely.
Well, it's very apt that Scott's in the week that's the William Hill Scottish Cup semi-finals, and of course on Saturday here at Hampden Park, we're going to have Motherwell against Aberdeen. Both clubs, Scott, that you've been a part of, particularly Motherwell, through the whole course of your career as a player and in coaching. First of all, just how do you see the tie going on Saturday?
I really think it'll be a really tight tie. Obviously, Aberdeen came down last week or a couple of weeks back and obviously had a great result at Fir Park, which is a really difficult place to come for any team, as all players would recognise that. But obviously, Muller won the Cup, did extremely well against them and actually cruised that game. So I think it's going to be a very tight game on Saturday, but hopefully Muller will do it.
I mean, there's a few suspensions, particularly for Aberdeen, Shea Logan, Captain Graham Shinney, Kenny McLean's out for Motherwell, Carroll McHugh, but particularly for Aberdeen, is that, you know, a big blow for Derek to have lost those three boys?
Yeah, I think for anybody at that time of the season to get to a semi-final in the Scottish Cup, not to be involved, obviously would be disappointment, but like anything, give somebody else a great opportunity to come in and stake a place for hopefully the final for one of the two clubs.
And for Motherwell, Stephen Robinson, one or two wee injury problems, a couple of players will go to the last minute, one of them being Alan Campbell, the young midfielder, a boy that you know really well, that you've helped to develop. How important is he to the Motherwell team?
I think he's massively important now that obviously Carroll's suspended. I think Alan comes in there and does an absolutely fantastic job. He's a great young player with an absolutely fantastic future ahead of him.
And Chris Cadden as well has been terrific now for a couple of years, another boy that you know well.
Yes, these young boys have all come through the academy. We're very lucky that we won the cup with all academy players, you know, the first time in the history. So it just shows you the quality of young players they have at Motherwell Football Club, and it's a great opportunity for these boys to go on and get history for the club.
I know it's not got any direct bearing on the outcome of Saturday, but how, for a psychological boost, will it be for Motherwell, having been there 4 or 5 months ago at Hampden and beating Rangers in a semi-final, granting this one?
Yeah, I think the way they played against Rangers that day was absolutely fantastic. I thought they were passionate, you know, really aggressive, really challenging, and that's what you have to be in a semi-final. You have to just get to the final, and that's the most important thing. And I think that's what both managers will be trying to drum through to their players. You know, it's just how you get there. It's to get to the final is the most important thing. It might not be the best spectacle, but it's to get to the final is the most important thing for any player, because nobody remembers a semi-finalist.
Louis Moult was particularly good out there that day, the match winner, one memorable goal, the lob. Curtis Main has come in to replace him, different type of player, but Curtis Main also has been very effective for the team.
Yeah, I think obviously you have to give great credit to the manager, losing somebody like Louis Moult and then bringing in another striker that's had the impact he has, is you have to take your hat off to him, so well done there.
That wee Louis Moult played at Portsmouth. One of my best mates, Gary Roberts, who's at Wigan now. And he texts me saying, "Oh, you'll never believe who we've signed, lad. Raoul Moat." That's what he used to call. Remember the guy that helped Gaza? Gaza was trying to help. That's what he used to get called in at Portsmouth. But he said when he came up, he said, "By the way, he's a handful, mate. Big Curtis Main's a handful. I don't think he scored a lot of goals down south, but he said he works his balls off for the team and he holds the ball up well. So I've been really impressed with him since he's came up."
I mean, Aberdeen, when you were there, but with Matt McGee, still a couple of the boys left there. Scott, Andy Considine, Mark Reynolds, I mean, they've just been great and just been consistent for a number of years at the club, haven't they?
Well, Mark was obviously a young player at Motherwell with us and obviously moved on. He's had an unbelievable career. He's just everything a young player should be. You know, he's dedicated, driven, very aggressive, and very unlucky not to have a Scotland international cap, I would say, a full Scottish international cap. And Andy Considine's one of the boys. He just seems to get better and better. You know, I think last season was unbelievable, the amount of goals he scored for Aberdeen. Mm. So I think hat off to him as well. You know, like, he's one of the boys that doesn't get the praise all the time, but what a great job he does for the club.
I came through with the two boys and I would never have thought in a million years I'd see Andy Considine playing left back and lending the ball. So same with Reynolds. Reynolds. I never thought Reynolds would go to the top. So fair play to both boys. They've obviously worked extremely hard and they've made the best of what they had.
How much pleasure do you get out of seeing Aberdeen the way they have developed over the past four or five? Because you were there, you know the size of the club. More importantly, you know the demands that are there from the Aberdeen fans and stuff like that.
Yes, their fan base is absolutely fantastic. They are. They're a great club. They are a good club to work for. I think Derek's done an unbelievable job, Pandy's backroom staff, Gordon Marshall and Doc. I think it's been amazing what they've achieved. And that's just been the club changing. It's changed down into a driving force again, which everybody needs in Scotland. We need a good Aberdeen.
Right, you're on the spot. We're not asking you to put a bet on, even though it's a William Hill Open Goal podcast. However, Motherwell, Aberdeen, pick as a winner, Scott.
I think I'd have to go for Motherwell, just because it's my local club, homegrown club, and been there probably most of my life, actually. So I'd have to go for Motherwell to win on Saturday.
Whoever wins the game the following day, Celtic or Rangers, in terms of whether it be, if you're saying Motherwell would get the final, would you rather see Celtic or Rangers in the final in terms of who you think Motherwell would have a better chance of beating?
I think anybody going against the Old Firm in a final of the Scottish Cup is really a really tall ask. I think it's really difficult for any team to go and challenge themselves. Obviously, the amount of times they've been there, the quality of players that they have, both clubs have got. But, it's a hard one. You would probably, for Scottish football, probably think Rangers, but probably Celtic.
Celtic just to nick it, maybe?
Just to nick it, yes.
Kenny Miller came back at the weekend. Uh-huh. Simon, he's 38 now. He just kind of keep him down. He's popped up with a goal, and you'd imagine that he must have a right good chance of starting on Sunday.
But Kenny Miller's a top player. I remember we got to the Petrofact, that one, and we played Rangers, and the Peterhead boys would be like, "Oh, Kenny Miller, he'll just be a grafter. He'll run channels." And I was like, "Nah. Wait till you actually play against him." And he's so good at getting a hold of the ball and linking play. He's a top player, Kenny Miller. And if I'm the Rangers manager, I'd play Kenny Miller against Celtic. I think he's played in the big games. He knows what it's about. He wouldn't be overawed by the occasion. And that, for me, he's a certain starter for Rangers.
He was obviously at Celtic then when you were there.
Yeah, he was there. And I thought he was a great player. Joining in with the first team every now and again. As I say again, all my mates used to say, "Oh, Kenny Miller's just a hard worker." But when you see him up close, he's a right good football player.
Gordon Strachan signed for Celtic with Gordon today at a William Hill event, and just mentioned how he thinks that Kenny has really, he's had to work really hard to get what he's got out of football because he wasn't blessed with natural talent. And also he thinks that compared to the guy that was at Celtic 10 years ago, you know, he's every bit as good now as he was back then.
Oh, look at the shape he's in. What age is he, 30?
38.
I wouldn't like to see me at 38, but the way he looks after himself is, and he works at his game. It's like he was always the one that would stay behind. I always remember seeing that with Kenny Moore. Like Gordon says, he's worked so hard at his game. He'd be the one that was out with a bag of boys trying to score and trying to work on his shooting and his touch, and he'd get boys to rattle balls in him and work on his touch. Everyone else would be in having lunch and he'd be out working on it. So credit, he's a credit to the game and done well.
When you were coaching, Scott, was Kenny Miller that when you're coming up against him and the opposition, one that you'd want to keep an eye on?
Oh, a different class. I think he's, what Simon just said there, unbelievable talent, aggressive in the box, aggressive all round the park now. He's changed his game, you know, since he played at Celtic and obviously being at Rangers, he's changed, comes into holes more often now, plays a lot deeper. But any time you look for somebody to give you a real lift, Kenny Miller seems to be the one that does it.
And the opposite end, you've got Lee Griffiths or Moussa Dembele. It's unlikely that Brendan Rodgers will start with both of them, but what a great choice for a manager to have between the two of them, Scott.
It just shows you when one of them are injured, you see the difference in the team. You know, when the two of them are there, it seems to spur each other on. They're more aggressive with each other on the pitch. So one's looking over his shoulder if Griffiths has got to come on or vice versa. So I think it's a great thing for the manager to have the two of them available. And obviously, being Scottish, I would like Griffiths to play.
He's come off the bench against Hamilton, bum, goal, does they waste any time. He's just a terrific finisher, isn't he?
Just an amazing finisher. Came here, I was lucky enough to, when he was at, he played against Falkirk, was it with Hibs? Uh-huh. And he scored an absolute screamer, but the game was like, Falkirk were absolutely amazing in the first half, and he just turns his body, hits one for 30 yard, bang, that's him straight back into the game. This is the potential this boy's got, and any manager in the world or any manager in Scotland would be absolutely delighted to have him playing.
They're both big game players as well, aren't they? They're both
Miller and Griffiths.
No, I'm saying Griffiths Dembele. And Dembele. It'd be a hard choice to pick. I don't think Dembele's been great the past couple of weeks, the games I've seen. And obviously Griffith scoring that goal puts pressure on the manager, but
you wonder it, well, with it being that Hamden and the memories of less than a year ago, Scotland, England, again, albeit it's different, but you wonder if that might just give Griffiths a wee edge as well when it comes to the team selection.
Absolutely. I think he'll go with Dembele, though. Yeah, I think he'll stick with Dembele, and Griffiths will come off, come on, 60, 70 minutes.
As long as he doesn't trip over his petted lip when he's coming
off. You said that, not me.
Ah, he'll be fine, he'll be fine, he'll be good goal. One other decision, I don't know, is it a decision for the Celtic manager, Craig Gordon, or a boy that you know well, Scott Bain?
I know if Scott Bain was to play there on Sunday, he would not have an ounce in his. He'll go out there and he'll play his usual game. Just the kind of boy he is. He's so relaxed and laid back and confident in his ability. That's the one thing that struck me out about him. But I think it'll go to Gordon as well. I think you'll go with your most experienced players in these games. Again, Bainey's not really played in a big game. I know he played in the Old Firm game, but a semi-final, a Scottish Cup at Hampden's a totally different kettle of fish. I think for that reason, you'll go with Craig Gordon.
See, when it comes to a decision like that, Scott, and it's a goalkeeping decision, special eye position, etc., etc., when you were coaching, managing and assisting Matt McGee, would you guys just make that decision, or would you consult your goalie coach? How does it come about?
Oh, I think it's massive, your goalkeeping coach, because he knows, he trains with him every day, so he sees what one's probably fit enough. No, mm-hmm. Is Craig going to be fit enough to in goal on Sunday? But I think I'm the exact same as Simon. You always go for your experience, you know what I mean? Craig Gordon's unbelievable, know what he's done, what he's come back for his injuries, so he's got a great strength of character, and I think he'll be the one who'll get the jersey on Sunday.
Just overall, Scott, obviously building up with the big Scottish Cup semi-final weekends, we've got the final next month. Can you pick out your favourite Scottish Cup memory for us?
Oof. Jeez, oh. I think there have been so many near misses. I think that's the thing, and that's what I'm saying about the semi-final. You know, nobody even remembers if you got to the semi-quarter-finals, you know, so the importance of the players really, really giving their all and really concentrating and making that occasion something special. So there's nothing better than walking out in a cup final. But as I said, you need to get to that cup final. That's the most important thing. So there are loads of memories, but I never played in a Scottish Cup final. I played in two other cup finals, but not in a Scottish Cup final. So I think it's really important for the players to, and all players will be like that. They'll be really, really fired up for it. So hopefully that's a great occasion for all the supporters to come and watch the two games.
How dejected, are you when you lose a semi-final and you're just so close to it?
I just think it's the occasion for everybody. It's not just it's for your family, it's for everybody. It's not really, I don't really think it's for the player, because the build-up for everybody else, and then you as a player just focusing your time, walking onto that pitch and hopefully getting the right result in the final. But to get to the semi is like fantastic for everybody, especially the clubs. But for the occasion of the player, you need to get to the final. I think that's the real issue here. You need to, the importance of it is so important for you, because you think as a young player that you're going to play in finals after finals after finals, and that's not the case unless you're a really, really great player like your Kenny Millers and your certain players, Scott Browns, that play in so many finals. And I think that's important to everybody else, like your Aberdeen players, your Motherwell players. They really have to get to this final. So I think Saturday's the one that more players will be really, really determined. Sunday for Rangers, I think, because obviously the chance of going in, hopefully winning the Scottish Cup for them as well as a club, which has been brilliant for Scottish football, having them back, you know. And I think that's, everybody's got a real, real opportunity to make something brilliant happen for their club.
You mentioned Scott Brown, you yourself and your day, central midfielder. How important is he for that Celtic team, just in terms of making them tick?
I just think he's been fantastic. I played against him when he was a young player at Hibs, and then obviously went to Celtic, but he's absolutely different class. I think he's come on so much as a player. His overall presence, we see it for Scotland, we see it in international games, and he strolls it, and you think, wow, where did that come from? Do you know? But I believe lots of young Scottish players have got that. It's just needing an opportunity. And when you play like Bruni, you're a challenger, you're aggressive, and then you've got that captaincy of one of the best clubs in the world, you know. So I think what he's done is tremendous for any young football player, to see that there's an opportunity. It's not other boys coming in, big foreign players, big names. It's all about our own players as well.
Did you beat him when you played anything?
I actually punched him once. To be fair to me, still reminds that he actually was playing golf with Kevin Thomas, and they met one of my friends, and they says, "Oh, we're friendly with Scott Leach," and the two of them burst out laughing, and that's what Bruni was saying. But to be fair, he played against my boy Jack at Mullerow, and it was absolutely wonderful for him. You know, Jack played extremely well in the game against him, but it was obviously a great reaction for Scott to say well done to him. Mm-hmm. So I think it was great for Jack, and then obviously for me to watch my boy playing against him, it makes me really old, doesn't it? So no, brilliant.
Did the referee catch the punch? Did he see it?
No, Bobby Williamson was the manager at the time. He was desperate to get me charged or get me done with the SFA. So
he punched him as well.
Aye, so no. I wouldn't have punched Bobby. He would have punched me back. So no, it was just a reaction. It was a penalty, and he jumped in front of me and says, "Yes," and all that. And so a reaction.
Well done.
I don't know about that, but obviously Scott still laughs about it today. So it was all in good fun.
Yeah, we're talking about punch ups and bust ups. Brings us nicely to the Man City Man United derby last weekend, and if the Scottish Cup semi-finals this weekend are live up to that one that we watched last Saturday. I mean, it had a bit of everything. Jose Mourinho again, just shows you, Scott, you can just never write him off.
No, he's amazing, isn't he? Obviously, the game, you thought they were blew out the water, basically, weren't they? And then for the way he came back, and obviously big players, isn't it? Again, we were talking about all the teams at the weekend, they were looking for their big players to make that impact. Kenny Miller, Lee Griffiths, you know, so their big players come back and obviously had an unbelievable result.
What about when you look at Mourinho, Simon, look at the record? I mean, there's a Man City expected to win the title last Saturday night. Bump, he's kept them on the back for another week. You think back to when Liverpool under Brendan Rodgers are going for it, he takes his Chelsea team to Anfield, they win the game. I mean, is he just he's a top manager, but he's got that bit where he can be a villain as well in terms of spoiling things.
He thrives for the big occasion, didn't he? He loves it. That's why he is a top manager. And I had a look, I seen his record the other day. It's actually ridiculous. I think he's won the Champions League 3 times. He's won so many leagues, and there's a reason why he's done all this. We were listening to the game coming back for Berwick after a classic game that Scott watched. Free flowing football.
What was the score?
3-1. It was the pitch was terrible.
Charging onto the title.
I watched the game when I got back, and big Pogba looked like somebody pulled him at the pub for the first half. And then the second half looked like a top player. And I think next year will be. I think Mourinho will get them in gear next year.
Think so.
I think he'll get a couple of signings and he'll get rid of a few. And I think they'll challenge City next year.
Scott, how frustrating. Just watching the game, you think back, Sterling clean through twice to make it 3-0 before half time and doesn't even hit the target on either occasion. And you see Guardiola's reaction to the touch. How frustrating as a coach, as a manager, when you just know you're just that one bit away from absolutely putting the game to bed.
I think sometimes you think the luck goes with you or doesn't go with you, doesn't it? Some of the games you've seen it so many times, but for the way they played in the first half, and then Sterling to get the chances that he did get, and obviously the one it comes off, I think it's a ricochet off the post, off the goalkeeper, and could go anywhere, and you think that must go in the net, and then goes by for a corner. I think these things just happen, don't they? I think that's the wonderful thing about football, isn't it?
Ashley Young done a Scott Leach on Sergio Aguero as well, didn't he? How's that not a penalty? That was a stonewaller, wasn't it?
I think it was definitely a penalty. It wasn't a red.
No,
was
no
it?
Red card. No,
they did get a bit of the ball eventually. That was a clean one, Scott.
Absolutely.
What about Mourinho? Could you say that it's almost as if down south you see the media and other people as if they want to have a go at him now. They want to criticise him, want to ridicule him, they want to say that he's not good enough for Man U, etc. But you say you look at his record and you think this guy's got plenty to offer, and he shouldn't be written off.
I think you had a big old rambling on a couple of months ago about, was it genetics, the team he took over, they finished 6th and 7th the last couple of years. I know he's spent a lot of money, but so have everyone else. And he's got that team who were 6th and 7th, 2nd in the league, and then everyone buzzes off of Pochettino and Klopp, and they're behind him in the league. So I can see why he gets frustrated, and I think he's spot on after the game. He's saying that I'm not as bad as manager everyone makes out, and the players aren't as bad as players as they make out. And I just think with the way he is, he seems a bit depressed just now, didn't he? And I think the press are really on him.
Sweet in the Lowry Hotel, obviously doing him in, aye.
Try living in a two-bedroom flat in Steps, mate, you'll see what depressed is.
but you look at it, Scott, and you think, Europa League last season, they had to win that to get into the Champions League, and he just produced.
I think he's amazing. I think you just see his record to be manager at that level for that period of time and what he's achieved. Like nobody, no player would ever challenge that. I think the press, they like the banter with him, but when it's always on their side, I like it when they're like challenging him and his reaction. I think it's all about reaction. You know, I think that's the way the media and that go to try and get a reaction from him. Hope he says something silly, and then he comes back with stats and different things and challenges other people back. So I think he just holds it all in, throws it back, and I think it's great to watch. I think Gordon Strachan was brilliant at that time when he was manager of Coventry. Everybody was against him, and he just threw one-liners to everybody, bang, bang, bang. And the other journalists, they can't handle it because these men are really intelligent because they have to challenge back, you know, so they've thought all week about that one question they're going to answer, and they've got 3 seconds to answer that, and they just throw it straight back to them. So you need to take your hat off to all the managers now, how clever they are and how much they think about the media now. And I think that's really important, that when you see Mourinho, how clever he is, how challenging he is, and how he always throws it back to him. Mm-hmm. He is a special one.
Do you know what Jose needs? He needs an open goal interview. We need to see a different side to him. Come on, Jose, get on, pal. I'll shed you in a good light.
On that, Scott, just when you think just again on your Mourinhos, your Guardiolas, you know, all these guys that produce in management and coaching at the very highest level, you know what it's like to manage. You know the demands of being a coach, of being involved 24 hours a day, all the demands that you face out with just picking a team in 90 minutes on a Saturday. You must have the utmost respect for people like that.
I think it's amazing, but I also think it's amazing for the smaller clubs because they've not got obviously 20 other members of staff that's helping them do everything. I think when you look at certain clubs, they've got 3 people. Do you know what I mean? So the importance of the manager, the media now, like the manager's job is basically just to manage the team, and everybody else should be working to generate that everything perfect on the pitch for the manager. But I think now that like the level, the what they have to do, the challenges of being a manager now, you know, the media, especially these big clubs, you know, they can't get a minute. Do you know what I mean? They can't get a minute. Everybody wants a part of them. That's not your board of directors. That's every single person with the press. So the demands in these managers now are unbelievable. And I think like the Old Firm managers, we've always had it here with our Old Firm managers because one team loses, no, it's like that's the end of the world. Do you know what I mean? Whereas like to manage an Old Firm, it must be unbelievable. We've seen it with Rangers, how difficult it is. Obviously, Celtic's in a better position at this moment in time because of its stability with Neil Lennon, Gordon Strachan, and obviously Brendan Rodgers now, whereas Rangers are a wee bit chop and change again, and they've not really got that position sorted. And I think you have to have that. I think you have to have that 3-4 years to give somebody a great opportunity to bring that team back, that great club back. But I think the demands in the Old Firm managers is just the exact same as down there because that's the challenges are for everybody to see.
I think that's where wee Cathro struggled, wasn't it? I think he was, from what I've heard the other boys, he was good on the training pitch and in the football side, but I think he struggled with the media, and I don't think he realised how much being a manager entailed, eh? Yeah. Do you agree?
No, he did struggle in the, but the positive thing for him, although he didn't get enough time eventually, was he recognised it, and I think maybe with the media, I think he was trying too hard with the media. He wasn't being himself, and you forget he's only 30. Was he 31, 32? You know, and having to deal with that constantly, and Hibs coming back, and all the different things. So Scott's absolutely right.
The media is a big part, the hardest part of being a manager.
I don't know if it's the hardest part, but I think it's an important part. You shouldn't underestimate it. You know, particularly after a win or a defeat in a Saturday. Probably particularly after a defeat, I always say a manager, when he deals with his players in the dressing room, whatever way he handles that at 5 o'clock on a Saturday, don't walk right into the media room. Take 10 minutes, go have a cup of tea, think back the message that you want to get across. Don't be dictated to by what you're asked. Be dictated by what you want to say, because that 10-minute spell, you only get a couple of settings, is a message that you're getting out of your fans. And particularly if you lose, it's so important to let the fans know the circumstances, to keep them on side, whatever it may be. So the media, it's easy for me to say, but you know, shouldn't they underestimate the importance of it?
There's a big challenge now for the media, but aren't they? Because they're wanting that story, they're wanting that reaction. Yeah, you know what I mean? So as it's like, obviously, all the managers know, like being involved in the circumstances when you haven't done well. And remember, the manager is hurt as anybody else. It's like grand reaction. Something must have been said in the dressing room. The manager's all going, and then absolutely you need that composure to go out. And I think that's where your Mourinhos and that are absolutely amazing. Do you know what I mean? Brendan Rodgers, the way he conducts himself, the way he speaks to the media is different class, but when you're winning every week and you're being really, really strong and doing really well for your club, it becomes easier.
Mm-hmm. We've got a big derby coming up at Hampden Park on Sunday, the Old Firm Derby, William Hill Scottish Cup semi-final. And we'll speak about derbies next on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground with Simon Ferry and Scott Leach, and I'm Mark Guidi. Derby matches, Scott, pick out your favourite. You've been involved in a few derbies, it's particularly in your playing career. What one stood out for you?
Yeah, I think it would probably be my first one I played in the derby, the Edinburgh Hearts Hibs derby. And how the senior international players like Gary Mackay, how it used to really, John Robertson, they were so uptight, you know, and I was just looking, I was just in at the club, and the way they reacted to that game was completely different. And that year we get taken away every single Friday, I think Celtic do that now, you know, and I think that was very difficult for somebody like myself, do you know what I mean? Like, you usually just turn up, go to the game, have a pre-match play and then leave, whereas you were away, there were so much thought, detail, everything in the derby, which probably every club does now, every single club in the Premier League does that now. But then obviously to get that opportunity to watch these players, now you've certain players, Tosh McKinley would be sick in the morning, or sick Tosh just before the game, he'd be sick. And then you'd just, like, Gary Mackay would be like, I need to go to my bed, and he was so like, and they would say, like, Kai's away for his sleeping tablets, and I think they used to give him Smarties. I don't even think it was sleeping tablets they gave him Smarties. And Kai would wake up the next day and we'd all be down for breakfast, and Gary Mackay would say, best sleep ever. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, that's every single week, but especially that's me, I'm ready for it. And that was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I was just looking about and just like kind of laughing. And then when you go to the derby, and obviously we're very lucky at Hearts at that period of time that we won more than we lost. And the first one, I think we won 2-0. And the fans were envisioning the pitch and everything in the corner, and like throwing coins, and I was kidding on, picking the coins up and laughing, and, you know, and carrying on. But the reaction of the players and all the fans was like mental. Mm-hmm. Like, taking us off the pitch, you went to the halfway of the pitch. And I'm thinking, that's not really like a Dunfermline derby, you know, or a Motherwell derby or something like that. So again, they've got a real, real love for their football clubs, and which is 100% right. But the one memory I've got is John Robertson, and he chases the young Hibs fullback. Now, everybody knows John Robertson in here. John Robertson didn't run anywhere unless it was to score a goal. So he's chased them the full length of the pitch, right into the corner, and then it was like a two-footed lunge, and I'm like, no, I could see other players doing that sort of tackle, but certainly no John Robertson. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is what it means to these boys here today. But it was both sets of players, Hibs players as
did
well.
Did they get a red? No?
No, nothing. It was like, honest to God, it was like,
was
crazy.
It wee Willie Miller? Was that what
it was? It was Willie Miller in the bottom corner. And it was a horrendous tackle, and I'm thinking to myself, let's just get away with that. And it was like a free-for-all, and there were one with me and Darren Jackson, and Darren Jackson, the ball was just like, he'd slipped and the ball had bounced there, and I'd kicked right through the ball, but I could have kicked him in the head, but I didn't. And we were at John Robertson's birthday party that same night, or the next day, or whatever it was, and Darren came right up to me and says, what about you? And I says, I didn't even see you. And he says, no, because you had that red mist. So that was the type of things in the derby at that period of time. But
made you Darren could start a fight in an empty house, couldn't he?
Oh, Darren, yes, absolutely. But a great lad, brilliant lad.
Other ones?
Yeah, just like, obviously, it was Billy Reid. We played Billy Reid, and wee Billy was dead fiery, and I was quite cheeky myself, actually. And the two of us were arguing, and Mark McGee says, well, you two just grow up. So obviously, Mark coming from down in England all these years, come up the road, and it was like he was just like so, he was just laughing. Do you know what I mean? Me and Billy Reid like growling at each other, saying things, every challenge, challenging each other. And then after it, we Billy Reid burst laughing, do you know what I mean? So Mark was saying, by the way, can you still grow up? So obviously some people can deflect the situation.
That's good coming from Mark as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely. Yeah, things changed when I was there.
Well, you look at you're talking about derbies, like you're, you know, good Scottish derbies he's here. But when you look at the kind of ones that we watch in the telly now, because we're getting feed from all over the world, and it looks so glamorous, and everybody looks like a movie star, and they're all pin-ups and everything. But what do you think? Would you rather have our Blood and Thunder ones, or do you like the glamour of the ones that we see from Spain and down south and Italy and stuff?
No, I can't. Everybody like Henrik Larsson speaking, do you know what I mean? And the thing he says on Saturday is there only is one derby. I don't agree with that, because I think the feeling and the feedback to every fan is that their club's the most important thing to them. So Hibs Hearts was amazing for me. Obviously, I never played in an Old Firm derby, but the Hearts Hibs, Dunfermline Falkirk, Hamilton Mullerow, amazing. Even played in Swindon Oxford. Do you know, it was like wonderful occasions, but again, a lot of that occasion's for the fan and the supporter to go and really, really demonstrate how much they want to win that game against your rivals, do you know what I mean? So the most important thing is, like Dundee United, Aberdeen, with wonderful games up with that also, do you know? So amazing things, amazing days for the fans, but again, it's like focused, you know, be professional. And I think that's what the players are now. They're just so professional, do you know? Like, obviously, I had a bit of banter there with what we Robbo and that did, you know? But what now the players have to take on that expectation of all these fans, and obviously the way the game is now, the tackles couldn't be like that. It's a straight red. You've just not let yourself down, you've let your club down, your fans down. So all that comes into play as well, do you know, the discipline of the players, the determination of the players. They still want to succeed, they still want to win that game as much as any other player or supporter. So I think it's difficult occasions now, whereas the game's changed when I played in the derbies.
What about your derby memories, Simon?
Dundee derby. We used to walk from Dens to Tannadice, and I used to get more abuse off of Dundee fans than I did the Dundee United fans. Oh dear, I remember I got a corner at Tannadice against, and I was on the back post, and Dundee fans fucking slaughtered us. But like Scott says, it means so much to the people in the city. I grew up in Dundee, so my mates in the WhatsApp group, they talk about it weeks
before. What was your team in Dundee?
I was at Dundee as a kid, so I'd probably say Dundee. I started out at Dundee as an 8-9 year old, and my granddad was a Dundee fan. So I'd probably say Dundee. I'm not really that bothered about it, to be honest. I like to see Dundee doing well, obviously, because I played for him very badly. But they are good derbies, and when you win, it's great, and when you get beat, it feels like the worst defeat ever. But We got a good one. Big James McPake, who's been on the podcast, remember he scored a sliding tackle?
Yeah.
We got the win there, and the dressing room after it, no, that's what makes it better, you know, the boys are buzzing. And we beat them 3-0 at Dens as well. I think Paul Heffernan scored a couple of goals. And
Paul Heffernan,
I know, what a guy he is, mate, you'd love him.
Paul Heffernan.
You see, after he'd get beat, he'd come over and he'd go, "Don't worry, lad, the sun will always rise in the morning." Brilliant, just the most great guy ever. Derby's you can't beat them, eh? Brilliant.
Well, you talk about the dressing rooms, you know, when you win, the feeling of elation, you know, it sets you up for the rest of the week. When you lose, though, do you notice that, how it maybe just hurts that wee bit more? And have you seen situations where it's maybe just spilled over after the
defeat? We got beat for United, I think it was 5-2 at Tannadice, and that was on the Saturday, and I don't think we seen wee Hartley until the Wednesday. I think he came in and said he was close to losing his job.
I remember that day. Yeah.
That's how big the games are, you know. Defeat's horrible. It's a horrible place to be. I don't think people get mad after a game. It's just silence, you know. It's a horrible feeling. I think at Swindon as well, we played Oxford 3 times and lost 3 times. Mm-hmm. So it shows you I'm absolutely hopeless.
We won when I played.
Did you? I know who I'd rather have in a derby to me and you.
But overall, derby's brilliant.
Amazing, yeah, I think it's great for everybody, as you said. They were in our, I don't know if they still do, but at Hearts they used to play, obviously, their song and batter it out all the way, so it was a great feeling, like driving into Easter Road, and obviously they banged it out, and all the players would sing, and you know, it was really, really unbelievable, you know, especially like with Robbo, Gary Mackay, Craig Levine, John Cahoon, even like Morris Johnson having a laugh, but obviously Mo could sing every song, so it didn't really matter to him, do you know what I mean? He'd every song
singing in the
he could do any at one time, so anyways, the wee man was brilliant at that.
Brilliant.
Everybody loves the smell of a shilling. Anyway, business end of the season, we'll have another Hearts Hibs derby to look forward to between now and the middle of May. We'll have another league meeting as well between Celtic and Rangers. Scott, how important is it just this business end of the season, particularly the way our league is structured with the split and you've got the 5 games?
I think I really, really enjoy the split. I think it's a great thing. Yeah. I know a lot of people have knocked it, but I think it's a great thing because it's a great challenge for everybody. Yeah. Nothing really fails, whereas before, you could have been in that position. And then it was, yeah, you wouldn't say that because obviously then a lot of younger players get a wee opportunity, whereas it's so demanding now to be in that top six. I think it's no great to play all other teams. You know, you want to play against the best teams. That's what everybody wants to do. In any league, you want to play against the better sides, but definitely the top six. And then obviously you've got the other side of the table, which really, obviously we've got Partick Thistle and Ross County just now, which is really, really intense. And they could maybe bring in another one of the clubs because they get that opportunity. You have four games off the teams that are close round about you. You know, so I think it's a really good thing. I really enjoy it, and I think there's always an area, you know, that you're fighting for relegation to stay above the relegation zone. Then you've got the playoffs now, so you've got loads of opportunities to get yourself out, even though you might have you might not have started the season as well as you'd have hoped for, and it's good for supporters too.
Do you enjoy it, Simon? The split.
I do. I think
you got in there with Dundee in your first season.
Top six. We played St Johnston the game before the top six. I passed the ball right to Michael Halland and he scored. They beat us 1-0.
Dundee fans get to stand you.
So listen, I think that was the first time Dundee been in the top six for years. And after the game, I was like, oh, I've made a this. And Kelly needed to get beat for Celtic the day after. I think Paul Hartley was in the media team watching the game. I've never wanted Celtic to win so much in my life, because if they Kelly had won, I'd have put us at the top six. Yeah. Celtic won, so it was quickly forgotten about. But as I said, it's a great motivation for the players. We'd all speak about in the dressing room, let's get in the top six. It's a big achievement for teams like your Dundees and your Kelly this year. It'll be
extra bonus money.
I think we did get extra bonus money.
Financial gain.
I think we got a few quid at the end of the season, so that went to Magaluf, but it's a good idea, I think, definitely.
You can't beat those 1 euro fry-ups, can you? after a hangover. Scott, do you find that the level of concentration at this time of the season, because there's no margin for error, you know, you really need to be right on the button?
Yeah, I think as everything changes, the weather changes, you know, the pitcher's bone hard, you know, so, well, not as much now, but like even when the boys are training, you know, the pitches could be really bone hard at this part of the season rather than being really soft. So you're changing, you know, your training structure, the manager, the focus point in every game is so important now. You know, it's so important, especially the teams, obviously, the clubs are at the very bottom, obviously that's it, finished with the top six and that now, so you want to be seventh, do you know what I mean? You still want to be seventh because obviously you say the financial package that comes with that is important for everybody to be the highest level they can be in the league, to hopefully manager getting bringing new players in. It's all this.
It's a prestige, you know, as well.
Isn't it? Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. And then obviously the top six. Now you've seen a lot of teams just make the top six and then they don't win another game, and that's another difficult thing because they've achieved that goal and then it's the next goal, isn't it? Because you want to start the season next season and a high as well. So the more games you can win in that, and you've got the Old Firm, one of the Old Firm ones there. So it's great for your own supporters to challenge one of the Old Firm again.
Have you had a memory that sticks out, good or bad, in terms of the split? You know, just that's been right on the edge.
Yeah, we've been lucky in a few occasions that we've just made it, and then other times we've just missed out, you know, but you might have missed out by 3 points, but you always think of the game.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been that Wednesday night, you know, or it could have been that Saturday, and you know, how did we lose that game? Should we have changed your tactics? Should you have went defensively? But the thing is, the most important thing is that you go and I think you have to try and win the games. I think that's the most positive thing for any manager or any club, that if you're positive with your players, you've got a better reaction than kind of trying to be negative, changing things, putting defensive players on. Does it work for you over the season? I'm not 100% sure. But I think most players would like to go and try and win the game than try and save that point. So I think that then, but you do really refocus that probably at the end of the season, or if you don't make the top six, you would refocus your mindset in that certain games.
So at the moment, just to touch on yourself, Scott, and what you're up to, you've got your coaching school at the moment, the SL8 Elite. How's that been going for you, and why did you take the decision just to step away from senior football?
Yeah, it wasn't really when you're in the academy and you're working at a club like Motherwell, it's 24/7, it's non-stop. I think in my first year I worked 143 days, you know, without a day off. I think it was because you're desperate to strive for your Alan Campbells, your Chris Caddins and all the other boys. You know, we've had boys at Brighton, boys at Burnley, boys that went, Lee Irwin went to Leeds, so you're fighting everybody's corner and you're desperate for your academy to be successful. And then obviously it was Project Brave, and the amount of work for smaller clubs to get into Project Brave was really, really demanding. So I just felt it was time, like my full career, like it's been 4 years, 5 years, and you move on, you try something different. This was just the occasion that I felt that it'd be quite good to give something back. I really miss the coaching side of it. You don't really coach for the 4 years, which was really, really
was that one of the things I've heard a lot of coaches that get involved at academy level, even down south and up here, that they get in with the best intentions of what to help bring on the next generation, produce one or two kids to the first team, but actually they get in, they think, I'm getting bogged down with admin.
Well, I don't think the admin, and like you have to have this criteria, yeah. And it's right. No, you're desperate to do everything right, the best you can for any young player, and obviously for families, no, well-being, everything. That's fantastic. It's just a lot of work. Whereas if you've always been used to coaching every single day, you know, since I've stopped playing, then the next thing for 4 years you're working in admin, working in trying to build relationships with the Welsh Society, to the board,
yep.
You know, you're trying to drive everything for the club to be successful, but you try and drive your club to be Project Brave. You had to get in the elite. Well, that's what we tried to achieve, and we achieved it, and it's like unbelievable what the club did for the size of your club to get to that level, do you know, and Hamilton. So there are lots of clubs that have done it, do you know what I mean, and then lots of great clubs that do really bring in some really great players. St Mirren for one, do you know, like getting that over the line, do you know, and I think it's really hard when you keep your fighting fire by fire, really. And then you've achieved it, and I just felt that I'd missed out in that time, and what, my age now, I'd like to coach more than I'd like to do admin and do different things like that. So that was the reason I made that decision to go and try and get back into coaching, or if an opportunity comes up, do you know, I just felt it myself, there's no point sitting and waiting for a job, do you know what I mean? I wanted to go and do something. I think there's a real market for young players that are that in-between stage. Simon will know, with the part-time players, that there's an opportunity for maybe another day to go and train with somebody, and I think most clubs would be open for that, especially the younger players. I'm not saying players like Simon have played like younger players, that they might be an opportunity confidence wise to come back and just get a fresher approach, you know, a different approach, and I think that's where I've seen it. Also mentoring like coaches at like boys clubs, going in, you can mentor them, you try and help them get their licenses and different things. So there's lots of opportunities in it, and it's just something that I wanted to try.
Because you said 143 days, did you say?
143 days I worked.
143 days without a day. I mean, yeah. See, that must mentally, he moans if it's 2 days.
This is what
that
open
must
goals
be.
I didn't really. The focus point was just to drive the club at that period of time, and then it was the manager at Motherwell at the time said you can't do that, because I was going in with the 20s, with no doing that the academy every single day. Do you know, going to first team games, going to every game. So you were like, just it was a rolling effect, but. Everybody, honest to God, that's not just me, that'll be nearly everybody in that environment.
Like, but you must be running an empty, surely.
Chris McCart's the same, Joe, Craig Mulholland will be the same. The amount of hours that these boys work, Paul, everybody that's in the academy, that's kind of what you kind of strive to do, because you want the best for every young player to get the best opportunity, do you know, because you've got, what is it, 120, 115... players in your academy, so you're looking after every single one of them, do you know, so it's a big job, and it's a big ask, and you know, for after 4 years, that's why I thought it's time to move on and get back into coaching. Craig and Chris they went to a different level, but I'm sure Paul and that, you know, the younger coaches would probably look at it and try and get into more coaching at certain areas. So you look at the 20s, you look at different age groups that you can get in coach. Now you've got the 18s, or it'll be the 18s in the summer. You've got young Steve McManuson, you've got like Stephen Hamill's taking over the job.
Clarkson,
you've got young David in. So, and the great thing about Motherwell is they really try and get the players back into it. You know, the senior players at that level, with Stephen Pearson, we've had Keith, who's now assistant manager, with Jeremy McFadden, working at Scotland. So we've had a great, great response for your senior players, but that's just for the love of the game. Do you know, a lot of clubs are doing that now. Do you know, you've got Chris Boyd that's done it at Kilmarnock, you've got
Kevin Thompson's
at Rangers now. So you've got so many great footballers, but it's the love of the game. Do you know, they're trying to give something back, but as well as growing their own reputations. Do you know, you've got loads and loads of players at different clubs now. Hearts are doing it quite a lot now, do you know, like bringing players in, ex-players or just players finishing their career. So it's a wonderful opportunity to get these players involved, get them coaching, because you just don't turn up and be able to coach.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? There's years and years to work in that, you know, and I think it's a great thing for them. It's a great area. Now, what a lot of them do, they come in, they don't want to work with MD except the older age players. And that's, if we could get that, knock that effect off them. Chris done it with me, I came back and worked at Celtic for a wee bit, and I went and done, did every age group. But it was brilliant for me. I did one-on-ones like Tony Watt, you know, and different players like that. And then you work within the academy setup, you work in the school setup. So it was great for me to have an overview before I went back to Mullerow. So it was great that obviously Chris and Peter Lawler will let me go and take the job up at Mullerow, you know, because they didn't need to do that. They could have kept me at Celtic as one of their coaches, but they gave me the opportunity again and be the academy director for 4 years, that, which was wonderful.
The graft, that
one day with Tony Watt must have felt like 143 days, didn't it?
No, he was brilliant. I had him, I actually gone for a week and he was brilliant, do you know what I mean? And it was really nice when we turned Mullerow young boys into like do a session with Scotland when Mark and Gordon was there, and he came running out of us and gave us a cuddle.
Brilliant.
And
he said, that's
no, he's brilliant, brilliant. But it shows you that they appreciate it, you know, like certainly individual things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he was having a tough time at that time at Celtic, and Chris wanted somebody to go and work with him. I get that proud moment.
Is that one thing as well, because of maybe the financial restrictions in our game up here, maybe not so much at a club like Celtic, but Motherwell and other clubs, you say fighting to get the finances to get Project Brave in place. If we did have more coaches, we could maybe dedicate more time to one-on-ones, but it must be so tough to get the balance.
I think it's great what they're trying to achieve. Like, you're trying to get an 18s coach, you're trying to get an intermediate coach, you're trying to get a youth coach, a junior academy coach in full-time, which is wonderful, and it is great. So they've kind of driven that onto the clubs like Mullerow, Hamilton and different things, which is great for everybody because you've got more bodies. But you don't. That doesn't mean you don't work as hard as you've always worked, you know. Yeah. Like, if you had asked Stephen McManus, if you had asked Stephen Hamill, like Stephen Hamill, I had a meeting with him a couple of weeks ago, and he says to me, "I can't believe I've not got any time for myself."
Yeah.
Because you've always got a phone call. You've always you've got 120
kids,
families,
yeah,
parents want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And you try and put a structure in, and but it's difficult because they're young players just coming in, and they're getting obviously things happen. Communication with parents, and they're not used to that. Players are not used to that. They get in, the manager tells you to do something, you do it, you play well, you go home, you come back in and you train. But with this structure now, you're dealing with all the parents, and then you do your, obviously, your parents' evenings, you know, how you speak to the young players, how you communicate with their parents, you know, and obviously everybody's got a child welfare protection officer, so he's always involved in it. So there's so much more to it. It's not just you're going in coach and then you walk away like a player. You're going in training and you walk away, and it's a great life.
So SL8,
yes,
Elite, how's it progressing, and are you encouraged by the level of player that's coming in terms of 10-15 years down the line that we'll have a few?
Yeah, I think like everything, I think the academies are amazing, you know, but a lot of people are kind of hidden from it, like the boys clubs are not wanting to send their young players. So we know with this, with the boys clubs, they seem to have like wanting not let their young players go. Do you know, and there must be a level, do you know what I mean? I'm not sure the level's under 11s at the academy, whereas probably it's about under 14s, you know, but that's up to the SFA and who's going to drive it for the next generation, do you know what I mean? Because you've got clubs now are getting young players in at 7, 8, 9, doing like centres, do you know, that for me is not right. It's not right.
Okay, Simon, enjoyed it?
Brilliant, great to have him on. I knew he'd be good.
He has been, he's been terrific, and the graft,
some graft
as well. But you think that just to go back to that, you know, just the point that you're saying, it's just non-stop.
And
you
see,
you'll want to try and get the level of the Guardiolas, but you think where you've got to start out. It's just if you really need to be dedicated.
It's not really changed. Like Chris McCart was like when you were at Mullerow that period of time, you did every job. You know, like I was lucky enough, I was captain of the club, and Terry Butcher was the manager that period of time, who was amazing manager. But I loved the coaching even then, and I went to him and he says to me, "You can take a Friday off, just go and coach with Chris." So I went with the 19s with Chris, but Chris did the first team, went and watched teams on the Wednesday for Terry, you know. So and Chris has done that and then went to Celtic, and I'm sure the job at Celtic's 10 times as great or bigger than it is at a club like Motherwell or Hamilton or something like that. So Chris and Craig, the amount of hours that they'll do for their football club, you know, the boys out on loan now, you have to see them. You have to get to see them, because you can't put boys out on loan to all these different clubs and they'll say, oh, well done, how did you get on this weekend? So there's that driving expectation that you have to be there, because you make the decision, these players, you make the decision, so you need to see them and say, oh, you really did really well there. So it's a hard job, the academy, and obviously Malky's obviously going to drive it to another level with the way that the expectation that Malky has for all the other clubs to try and deliver. So he's taking it for the SFA to another level too, which is great, but the demands are still as hard, because the money, like, you'll get extra money, but you need to find these wages and drive your own club. So you've got an amazing thing for your board to come up with and say, yes, that's the way we want to go. So you need to take your hat off to all the clubs too. I think it's a pat on the back for the clubs that they want to achieve this, because the environment they want their young players to play in, and it's been successful for Motherwell.
Brilliant, Scott. Thank you. We do wish Project Brave, the SFA and all the clubs well with it, the new initiative that kicks in next season. We also wish you well, Scott, with SL8 Elite, and hope that it takes off for you, but hopefully you're back in at the senior game as well when you think that you're ready to go back into it. Simon, thanks again for joining.
Mate,
Peterhead, what's the big one this weekend? It's getting closer. We're talking about the business end. How far away are you from punching it?
Montrose play Cowdenbeath tonight. That's their game in hand. So if they win, they go 3 clear with 3 to play. So fingers crossed Cowdenbeath can do us a favour and we can win the league.
You can't rely on Cowdenbeath though, can you?
They've picked up Cowdenbeath, beat Clyde at the weekend. They had a good result.
Bowen's still there.
Gary Bowen's still there. He didn't beat his teams easily, so fingers crossed today, something tonight.
Right, hopefully it all works out then. Thanks very much for joining us on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground. Thankfully, we had Scott Leach and Simon Ferry with us today, and thank you to our sponsors, William Hill. Enjoy the rest of your week.